Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief, Mr. Sean Robertson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we talk about fireworks, 38th anniversary today, me and the shirt lady.
All right, congratulations.
Or probably more appropriately, the shirt lady who suffered with me.
The shirt lady, all right.
Yeah, so happy anniversary, Ange.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that also makes the kids legitimate.
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, at least on one facet. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, that's a great accomplishment.
It's kind of sobering that it is. Instead of normal.
Yeah.
You know, that it is. So, yeah. We made it. All right. 4th of July weekend. A lot of big bang booms going on.
Yes.
Didn't hear an awful lot of sirens, though.
There were four fireworks-related incidents, so nothing significant.
In the greater Eureka area?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And just anecdotally, there were less illegal fireworks going off than
really?
The previous years, yeah.
Less in number, but bigger in magnitude?
I don't know.
But if they weren't causing any fires.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, there were a couple window rattlers.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently there was an interesting supply issue because there were less. Because last year there were less fireworks sold. Apparently every year they sell 50% to the public in the fireworks booths.
Oh, of what is made?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they had less inventory from last year.
As a carryover?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Because you would have thought that it would have been more, I mean, just intuitively.
Right. Yeah, huh. So that was an interesting...
So I guess people weren't making that trip up to Washington.
I guess not.
Or, yeah, or down the Bay Area. What a shocker.
Yes.
Not too many fire-related associated.
No, so it was a pretty safe... and successful weekend that way.
Good.
It looks like the Bay fireworks show was a pretty good time.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot going off on the spit either. Now, would you guys have responded to that, or is that Justin and his folks out of
That's Arcana? More Samoa, but we run mutual aid over there if requested.
Right, but they didn't.
Nope.
Cool. Yeah, I've always thought that we're pretty much in an ideal position. You know, if somebody wanted to do the big ones. Okay, so you get on the ocean side of the spit.
Right.
And you shoot it out over the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're doing it in a hurricane, how's it going to come back on you?
Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah, you would think that that would be something that would be pretty straightforward, but obviously it's not because you guys are always super concerned that not everybody's going to follow that line of logic.
Exactly. Those are the people we worry about, is the outlaws.
Yeah. The guys on the Bay side of the spit shooting it over towards the city.
Yes.
Aren't
always making the best decisions.
Now, there was very limited activity in a lot of the commercial areas. I know Arcata had a little bit of an event.
Yeah.
The fact that downtown Eureka didn't, do you think that added to the low numbers this year
for
incidences?
Yes, I think just there were less people congregating early in the day. I believe there were a pretty good crowd watching the show later on. But yeah, I think that contributed to the low numbers and maybe just less people wanting to go out.
Sparklers are always something that's a little bit of an enigma for me. I never really liked it when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, okay, fine. You know, that's kind of the traditional one, right?
Right.
Do people understand how hot those things burn and what the chemicals are that are on that steel as they're turning it over to their 3-year-old?
No, they don't.
Do you know what is on that makes it do its magic?
Yeah, there's a lot of magnesium in there, and that's what makes that bright white light, and it burns so hot. Yeah, if you get any of that on you, it's going to burn your skin for a bit.
So magnesium is a hot flashpoint, I guess would be the term?
Oh, yeah. The most famous, or I guess relevant fire training we get when you're a new firefighter is fighting old engine block fires that have a lot of magnesium in them because they're water reactive. And so
oh, really?
If you start spraying them with water, they make a heck of a show. And actually, the fire we had at John's used cars was an illustration of that because a lot of more specialty parts were stored on the second floor mezzanine. And at one point, there must have been an old, you know, VW engine block up there because there were all kinds of interesting colors coming out and very, very bright light. And it actually melted the wall from the inside just from that piece.
So we stay away from magnesium. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
You ready for your question now that you've been diverting me as much as you can?
Yes, I am.
All right. Why are angels pictured with halos?
I feel like I learned that at some point, but I'd just be guessing.
Yeah, kind of like trig, huh?
No, it's less guesswork with that.
Okay. How about budget preparation?
And halos?
No. What sticks and what's a guess?
Oh, it's government accounting. It's all guesswork.
Yeah, all right. Here we go.
Come on. I guess it's something related to the Roman times with the laurels around the head of the Caesars, perhaps.
You're down the timeline. You stopped a little early.
Yeah.
Long before the birth of Christ, sun worshippers wore rings of feathers on their heads, presumably to represent rays of sunlight and identify the wearer with the sun god. Oh. It's believed that this led to the idea of depicting divine beings with circles of light around their heads. It's also probable that this led kings and queens to wear crowns.
What sun worship is? Like the Aztecs?
Think Egypt.
The Egyptians?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're on from the same continent, man. You should have it all dialed
right.
in.
Right. I should know all
it's 819.
The
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, obviously there's a lot of concern about the drought, the lack of moisture.
Right.
We were down in Sonoma County a couple weeks ago now on the coast and went inland to Glen Ellen. And boy, it was like you hit a wall.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all the moisture is gone.
Yeah.
The air, the grasses, you know, the flora, it just was gone. And it was the first time I think I kind of understood how fires could run as fast as they can and how tender things can be.
Right.
I mean, you know, growing up four blocks from here and, you know, just being on the coast, it's like, those are other areas.
Yeah.
How do you work with and train the guys and gals here so that they are able to have competencies when you get the call for the mutual aid or you run into Willow Creek or you run into Southern Humboldt and everything is so different?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's been more so in the past because, like you said, we hardly ever got any wildfires here of any consequence. But then we would go out every year, you know, as part of the the state requests for resources. And that's changed significantly just in 5 years, in that we're getting much more activity locally. We had the significant incidents last summer in Southern Humboldt. We've already had fires in Redway this year. We're getting a lot more fires out in Samoa in the dunes. And some of those have started
campfires kind of thing?
No. Some of them have been started from that. One of them last week was started because a wheel fell off a trailer and the sparks created from the axle started a fire on the roadside and it spread quickly.
So just dry.
Yeah. So everything's just really dry. We get the winds often. They're pretty much constant here and it just pushes things really quickly. So a lot more activity. So how do we prepare for those? We have our basic training. We do that every year. And then if we go on incidents inland or in other areas, it's very important to remind people that this is the situation we're in now. So we have to pay attention to topography, local weather, the expected fire behavior. So we rely on the intel coming out of those incidents because CAL FIRE and the Forest Service do a really good job to focus on that. And you just have to be really mindful of the fact that you're in an unknown situation. The worst part is it's so unpredictable compared to everything we learn about with fire weather, the changes we've seen in with the drought and winds and things goes out the window.
Fire weather, I think most of us kind of go, okay, Smokey Bear and the little, cute little sign.
Yeah.
But when you share with us the microclimates around a fire, which is, I guess, the fire environment rather than fire weather. But for most of us, we probably think of them as interchangeable. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different dynamic that most of us don't have any kind of a clue what that's like. How do you describe that to somebody who's never experienced it or might be a buddy across the backyard fence?
It's really difficult to describe adequately. It's essentially you're in an environment where your senses are all limited, and that is going to create a stress that's then going to make your ability to make decisions or perceive things, like weather and wind changes and where the other resources are. Those are all the things we're thinking about. But when you can't see more than 200 feet, if you're in a place you've never been before, if you don't have any idea of the local weather, and then the experts are telling you that all their modeling is out the window because it's just crazy, you have to be super, super vigilant. And if you've been there for 2 weeks, which in some cases is what happens, your fatigue level is high, so yeah.
You get a little groggy. Then.
Yeah, I have more concerns about the CAL FIRE or Forest Service resources because they're going at that level the entire summer, if not longer than that, and it becomes a real safety concern.
Kind of sounds like the first time you're piloting a plane and landing in the dark on instrument rating.
Yeah,
you kind of know, but you don't know, and the circumstances are so unique that you don't have experience to be able to fall back on.
The other thing I think about it is it's similar to being in a battle. I've never been at war.
Okay, yeah.
So I watch, movies like everybody else does, and whether it's, Band of Brothers from World War II or some of the more recent stuff out of the Middle East, I'm in a known, sheltered, secure spot, and I'm suddenly literally kicked out the door, and I'm not suddenly in this massively hazardous environment. I have to make life and death decisions in seconds, take care of my people, and accomplish my objective. And it can be that intense of a situation in these wildland fires.
I would think disorientation would be a significant factor.
Yeah, so
potentially.
So that's where the training and the experience comes in, is you have to be comfortable and able to function in that disoriented state.
And put out the fire.
Exactly.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Sean, the disorientation that we were talking about before in some of the wildland fires that you try to train to, I suppose that's why you have the smoke building and some of that kind of stuff for the
right.
trailers. What about these guys that do that for a living, the fire jumpers? Are they just a couple of IQ points less than everybody else, or is that a specialty where they are almost like scientists jumping in and they know what they're doing and they can handle very specific, challenging situations that most can't?
I think that's a really good insight. They are specialists. They are also, I think, a little crazy. I mean, they're jumping out of airplane, but I'm sure that's a lot of fun. But they have a very specific task. It's, you know, obviously to get into a remote area and to either do a quick stop attempt on fire growth, or to either prepare a site for supplies or caching or things like that. They're definitely people who have a lot of experience. We have a couple on our fire department.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that have done that in other plots.
Like more than once?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So they're, you know, just people who are very able to focus on that task. And when they get dropped off in an area, they have a very specific job to do.
So how are you able to maximize that resource, their experience, with some of the training and the stuff that the fire department does do on a more regular basis? Do they bring some unique capabilities, or are they special trainers?
It's more they just share their experiences. Yeah. I think the training they get, you know, is focused obviously on the para jumping, or whatever the proper term for that is.
So you're not going to, like, have them land on a building if we have a Victorian on fire or something like that?
No, probably not going to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Because, no, no. I mean, for some of them, they've been with us for 10 or more years.
Oh, so this was back when they were younger and more agile.
Yeah, pre-diminished skill at this point. And we don't really have any.
Now, did you say pre-diminished skills?
Pretty.
Pretty. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what is a pre-diminished skill? Yeah. It's like, that's why we do Sudoku when we're 60 or something.
Right, yeah.
Maintain our pre-diminished skill.
I prefer puzzles, but I get the analogy.
Yeah.
Well, and I would think that a lot of folks outside the fire service presume that a firefighter is a firefighter is a firefighter. Obviously, it's not.
Right.
As there are different capabilities. Do you have, if we think of your team as the department as a team, do you have all the specialists that you would like to have? Or are there some folks that, or some experiences that you haven't been able to hire recently?
Oh, that's a really good question. We obviously have our specialty teams that exist already. So we have paramedics, we have fire investigators, and then our teams are urban search and rescue, sort of what is going on in Florida with the apartment building collapse. That's a specialty of that. Then our water rescue team with our swimmers, and then hazmat. So outside of that, you know, some other team resources that we could need is we've had some experience with this large animal rescue. Definitely crossover with search teams versus rescue teams. So in California and most of the country, search functions go to law enforcement. And often we have abilities and resources to help with those, but we're not part of the resource matrix, so we don't get called until, you know, days or weeks into it. So it'd be good to have more crossover with that. And then we're trying to work on beach rescue in Humboldt County because there's hardly any resources for that. And we recently started a volunteer dive team that we're hoping to get active later on this year. And that's more for recovery because the search function's generally going to be the Coast Guard, again, or the Sheriff's Office, because they have many more resources to get on those incidents quickly.
The dive team, would that be for inside the bay or just as backup for the coasties?
It's throughout the county is kind of the intent.
So lagoons would qualify, the rivers would qualify, any bodies of water.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of think that would be a natural one for us to have along with the beach. I don't know what's specifically unique about the beach other than it's tough to get if somebody's out in the surf.
Yeah, I mean, we've had several surf rescues. We've had shark attack rescues. We always have sneaker wave issues.
That's probably the biggie, huh?
Yeah, that definitely takes the most folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're a resource with constant staffing, so we're very responsive compared to other agencies, and we're just trying to collaborate and help fill those resource gaps.
Structure fires, you know, the we certainly have had that in the news recently. If you haven't had, if you're not a builder or contractor or, I guess, a commercial property owner, you probably haven't had an awful lot of interaction with fire department.
Right.
With the plans, with sprinklers, with things of that nature. Even though this might, it's probably more structural than anything else, is it a reminder for your folks to kind of look at things with a critical eye?
Yes.
When they're doing plan review?
Yes, always. I mean, that's our obligation in doing that review, is to make sure things are in place like they should be.
What's the biggest area of concern when doing the plan review? Enough sprinklers to cover an area, that it's there, water pressure? I mean, what are they looking for?
The big things are exiting, frankly, ways to get out that make sense and are comply with the code, and then sprinkling. And, you know, we're getting better at having or requiring sprinklers for new construction. But some of those old Victorians in town, would be great to have them sprinkled too. But it's always a cost obstacle for sure.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, at the Fire Academy, when folks are going through the training program, do they get a sampling of all the different types of fire and rescue that are possible? I mean, you listed off half a dozen to a dozen of them.
Right.
I'm sure there's a bunch of others that, you know, the Wildlands guys, you know, if we were over in Red Bluff, there'd be another couple that would be added into the equation also. Do they kind of get modules on all of those areas, or is it more the basic training and then wherever you get employed, then we start narrowing your training?
So our academy is 8 weeks long, and it's in-house. But yeah, through those 8 weeks, we try to expose firefighters to every you know, basic type of incident we might go to. So we focus a lot on the basics like hose movement, extinguishing fires, and the rescue operations, which include searching for people in buildings and then cutting them out of cars with extrication. And then, you know, we start, it's the whole concept is a progressive kind of learning. So we start with those foundational blocks, and then towards the end, we kind of put it all together and have several days of different types of fires. So wildfires, car fires, electrical fires, things like that. And then we have a whole day of just simulated structure fires in our burn box. And that is important to get used to that environment. We talked about disorientation early. So it's getting used to that environment of heat and, you know, darkness and just getting accustomed to the movement of the hose in there and putting it all together. So it's a culminating thing.
How elaborate is the training? Doesn't Butte have a fire program? How elaborate is that? It just goes into more detail or more areas?
Well, it both. So those formal academies have a curriculum that's certification based. So you come in with nothing, and when you get out, you have all these certificates. So while that may be a full semester, so seemingly that they can cover a lot more things, it's more that you're going through all the basic things that we as a fire department are expecting you to show up with. And you also have to have a minimum of 1 year of experience.
Oh, before you can...
Before you can even apply to become a firefighter for us.
Okay.
To be a paid firefighter for us. So you're starting at a level of knowledge and experience where you're just going to develop more and more. And we've definitely had people that have come to our fire agency from other organizations, and some of them have almost 10 or more years of experience, and they're still astonished, and I'm not exaggerating, astonished at how much more they learn through our academy, because, you know, we just have a really strong, experience base of our firefighters, and we have a pretty high expectation of competency. So, you know, it's definitely a challenging 8 weeks.
So if somebody, how do they get the 1 year of experience? Is that like Cal Fire or?
It can be through Cal Fire. The traditional way was through volunteer fire departments.
But that really doesn't give you the experience. I mean, I would think experience isn't a timeline. Experience is a certain amount of exposure.
Our experience is tied to getting your state firefighter one certificate, and that is tied to a year of experience. And I'm using air quotes because that's defined by the state for that certification.
I thought you had a mini seizure. Sorry.
No, just. Just use my fingers. But yeah, I mean, depending on where you're volunteering, you may not get any structure fire experience. Like if you're a volunteer in, you know, Bryceland.
Yeah, have you ever pulled a hose?
Exactly.
I mean, I would think that would be almost something that you would not even ask because it would be so obvious that somebody would.
Right.
But if it's a volunteer department, maybe not.
Yes. And again, we're making that assumption that
hopefully
you have,
not.
Yeah.
Let's say it that way, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
We are making the assumption you have a basic level of competency when you come in, but we're also ready to help people succeed. And, you know, that's why we do a lot of the manipulative training. We have multiple days of doing those simple skills. So pulling hose, rescue, extrication.
The physical
ladders. Ventilating roofs, things like that. Those are tasks that require a lot of repeated skills to develop that competency.
You're starting to develop a muscle memory.
Yeah. So just throwing a 24-foot ladder by yourself, you know, that takes a lot of time
without a paint can.
Skill. Yeah.
Aren't you glad I didn't choose to go into fire service?
You would have had some trouble getting in some of those spaces.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's why you have roof racks, right?
But you know, that you could be a resource in other ways. We don't need a 16-foot ladder. We can just have you reach up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, have somebody stand on my shoulders. Yeah. Well, hopefully July will be calm all the way through, hopefully. Like the 4th was.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.